हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Krishna Sandarbha Adhyayana 2 Adhikarna 1 Description of Swayam Bhagavan, Lord Krishna. Continuing with Udriti by Prabhupada. Okay, all avatars mentioned and not mentioned here, who are portions of the Purusha or are empowered jivas, create happiness in the world whenever it is afflicted by the demons and their ideas. But Krishna is the ultimate form of Bhagavan. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.28. According to Srila Jiva Goswami's statement, in accordance with authoritative sources, Lord Krishna is the source of all other incarnations. It is not that Lord Krishna has any source of incarnation. All the symptoms of the Supreme Truth in full are present in the person of Lord Shri Krishna. And in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord emphatically declares that there is no truth greater or equal to himself. In this stanza, the word Swayam is particularly mentioned to confirm that Lord Krishna has no other source than himself. Although in other places the incarnations are described as Bhagavan because of their specific functions, nowhere are they declared to be the Supreme Personality. In this stanza, the word Swayam signifies the supremacy as the Summum Bonum. The Summum Bonum, Krishna, is one without a second. He himself has expanded himself in various parts, portions, and particles as Swayam Rupa, Swayam Prakash, Tade Katma, Prabhava, Vaibhava, Vilasa, Avatar, Avesha, and Jivas. So I guess we're the particles. That's interesting. Because you have the combination there. Swayam Rupa, the Tade Katma and the Avesha. Then you also have the Prabhava, Vaibhava, Vilasa. All provided with innumerable energies just suitable to the respective persons and personalities. Learned scholars and transcendental subjects have carefully analyzed the Summum Bonum Krishna to have 64 principal attributes. All the expansions or categories of the Lord possess all of the expansions or categories of the Lord possess only some percentages of these attributes. But Sri Krishna is the possessor of the attributes 100%. And his personal expansions, such as Swayam Prakash, Tade Katma, up to the categories of the avatars, who are all Vishnu Tattva, possess up to 93% of these transcendental attributes. Right, so how much they manifest, so that would be the difference between, I think it's what, Vilas and Prakash, or Vaibhava and Prakash, Prabhava or something. What is the one where it's power?
Prabhava.
So they have 93% of the qualities, but they will manifest them to a certain degree. Some will be more, some will be less. So if they're more, then they're the Vaibhava, no? Mm-hmm. And if it's less, they'll be the Prabhava. And then in the jivas, then you'll see less again in the avashas. Does that make sense? But in the paravasta, they would be the full 93, but which aspects of them are prominent, that's another thing. So we see is that as it goes, then with Nisringa it's full, then with Rama you see more wider range, and then with Krishna that's the full range.
And Vilasa.
No, because here is that you're getting the thing within Swayam Rupa, then you have Swayam Prakash, you have the Vaibhava, the Vilas, these different aspects, that's one categorization. Then you have another categorization, because see, is what you're dealing is that one categorization is in the position that they are. Means, in other words, they're Krishna himself or his expansions, and then how much they're manifesting on down to the ajivas, right? So then you have the Swayam Rupa, Tarikatma Rupa, and the Aveshas, and then each of them have their subdivisions, right? So that's basically the position. Then by power, how much they're showing, then that's going to be the Paravasta, Vaibhava, Prabhava, and Avesha. Right? Does that make sense? That's just by power, because it may be that something that's in a particular, let's say, a lower level of the middle one, means the, not the middle one, but the just positions, one might be showing more power and something less power. So it's just about where they are coming in the expansion, right? That's the one. The other is how much power they're showing, right? Then the third one is just what categories of avatar they are. You know, the six kinds of avatars. So there are Leela avatars, Purusha avatars, Guna avatars, Manvantara avatars, Yuga avatars, or
Shaktivesh.
You understand? That's just the so there's over all these have overlaps. It's just a matter of which you're looking at it, which is the prominent character.
And that's the perspective.
Yeah, it's just the perspective, like that. So that's why there can be a confusion, because here Prabhupada's used the terms from the mix of all three. Does that make sense? So sometimes we see it just one group as mentioned. So Lord Chaitanya gave the breakdown of the categories of the expansions of Godhead as three. Right? Now within that, then those that appear in the material sphere as avatars, then they have six categories. So Krishna will be a Leela avatar, but he's Swayam Rupa. You understand? While let's say Varaha is a Leela avatar, but he'll be Swamsa, right? Like Vamana is a Leela avatar, but he's showing more power than Varaha. He's almost like Paravasta, you know. So that'll put him up more like Vilas or other things like this. So that's the point, is that there's going to be overlap. It's just showing what is the perspective. If you're looking at it, what kind of categories of avatar they are, what kind of expansions of the Lord they are, and how much power they're manifesting. So when you put that all together, all those three, then the particular avatar can be defined according to that. You know what I'm saying? Any one of them is enough to define. But so that you know the Lord and how he expands and the different moods and all that, then that's going to be what Lord Chaitanya gave. Does that make sense? So that's the main chart. Then within that, who's showing more or less power? That's that second chart. And then of the avatars, what's the classifications of them? That'll be the third. So there is connections between what categories there are, how much power, or the expansions and all that, and how much power, or the expansions and where they are in the avatars, you know, which category they are. Yes.
And if we take it further, because that's where we read yesterday in Shikshamrita, which was also, I think, from the threes, the energies. Remember you once explained that there is Chitta, Chitishvara, Sladini, and Samvit, all those. There was also gradation. Why Krishna exhibits those ones according to what time and circumstances?
Yes, but that'll be.
Is there a connection to that, or not necessarily? No,
it means of course there's always a connection, because it's just Krishna. So he's one. So it's all going to have a connection, but it's not necessarily. you're looking at that from the aspect of him being Satchidananda, how everything manifests according to Satchidananda. I mean, because of those three features of himself, everything has three features. Right? So the energies, then there's going to be three features in the way of the vaibhav, meaning internal, external, and jivas. You know, then it's going to be three features in the way of prabhava by being icha, kriya, and jnana. Right? Then it's going to be three features of anubhava by being hladini, samvit, and sandini. Does that make sense? And then those are going to have their, you know, how they reflect into the material world. So how everything expands, everything from them.
I just don't understand why exactly like this. Why prabhava and vaibhava are those energies specifically? And anubhava are those?
No, it's a matter of how much it is. It would be just like, let us say you have a sandwich. Okay, let's say you're even, okay? Now, we have that sandwich, but it's a full sandwich, and then you have some chips, you have a drink, you may have some sweets, you might have some other little things to snack on and all that kind of things like that. But it's put together, let's say we have a salad, we have this and that. Even though it's a sandwich, it's a meal. But now if we just have half a sandwich and that's it, and maybe a glass of water, it's a snack. It's the same thing, it's just how much volume is there. Or do I give you just a taste, or do you get a whole plate? So the paravasta, the vaibhav, prabhav, and avesha, that's just how much is on the plate. You know, in other words, you know what I'm saying? That's all it's explaining. It's not explaining whether they're Swayam Rupa, Tade, Katma Rupa, or Avesha. It's just saying how much power is shown.
Yes, I understand.
Yes.
What I didn't understand, how you classify those Prabhava, Vaibhava, and Anubhava according to what?
Oh, you mean in the Shaktis?
Yes, I just didn't understand why those specific in those categories.
Why not?
Why, yes. Because if I...
Means what's the doubt? Okay, vaibhav means where is the... Means in vaibhav you have the alambana, right? Means which is going to be the lord and the person who the... what do you call it? The...
Vishayanashra.
The Vishayanashra, right?
No, it's because of this. That's what...
Okay.
I just didn't understand the connection.
Oh, okay. So, because I thought you were still talking about the avatar thing. Okay, so that's going to be the as the lambana means the ashray, means the internal potency is the ashray, the external potency is the ashray, and the living entities is ashray, because that's what's happening. Right? Means the material energy is serving the Lord, the internal energy is serving, and the jivas, they, you know, can choose. That problem is they should choose wisely. Then the prabhava means influence. So the influence of the icha, his desire, the influence of the kriya, the influence of the jnana.
Oh, now it makes sense. I tried to explain it yesterday, it just didn't make sense to myself, and
okay, yeah. That's the fun part about these things, is they're actually so simple, but because we're generally trying to take details and squash them together, that it doesn't come out right. But it's actually, the principles are really simple and they're all connected. It's just a matter of being able to that. And then the anubhava means then what comes up when you have the aspect of vaibhava, right? Then by that contact with Krishna, then there's going to be the desire to do something and its effect. Right? Mother Jashoda sees Krishna and she wants to pick him up and put him on his lap, or she wants to feed him, or she wants to, you know, she sees him and she thinks he's doing wrong, so she wants to chastise, right? So that'll be the anubhav. So the anubhav here then is hladini, samvit, and sandini. So you see, is they're all the same basic principles of Satchidananda. You know, or Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana. That's why when Lord Chaitanya says the Vedas are only talking about Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana, he means that is what is all talking about. But the features of Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana, then there's so many aspects. Does that make sense? So those three will be quite a major thing, and so they're interactive. It's just like then when it comes into the material world, like that, then your how you say goodness, passion, and ignorance. That's going to be ignorance will come from sandhini, passion will come from samvit, and so-called material happiness, or happiness and distress come from love. Does that make sense? Like that. And I think when you get then also their application, you get the from Sandini, you get the 14 planetary systems. From Samvit, you get all the material knowledge and action that you perform, that people are karma, and they go around these 14 planetary systems. And then you get the Haladini will be again that, what's the effect of happiness or distress from those things. That's all described there in Chaitanya Shikshamrita. Now understanding this, go back and look at it, and you'll see but every time he's explaining, then some places he's showing all three, some places he's only showing one or two. But the point is it's giving the same thing, and from there, as you can see, is that from that you also get the demigods, you get the humans, and you get the demons, right? So the demigods are in goodness, the humans are in passion, the demons are in ignorance. Does that make sense? So all these features, whatever there is, because it's always three, because that's the problem with duality. We want to make two, but then there's always that one in the middle. And how much you consider that, you can create more of a balance or not. So with Krishna, all these three are very perfectly reconciled because of the achintya potency. But that achintya potency only works in the spiritual, with the eternal potency. It does not work with the external. Therefore, with the external potency, you get the duality, and they can't be reconciled. So they can only be reconciled in the context of Krishna's in its relation with Krishna. In other words, material knowledge is relative, and so that's recognized that it's relative knowledge. But what they think is that it's relative knowledge. Therefore, I can speculate and say whatever I want is truth. But it's relative knowledge because it only actually makes sense when it's seen in relation to Krishna. Right? Because the internal already is, what makes it internal is it is in relationship with Krishna already. That's what makes it internal potency. And the external means it's indirectly, means Maya Devi is in relationship, but the environment that's created, that illusion for the jivas that are here, it's not connected. They don't see the connection. Right? Does that make sense? And so the devotees, they'll see the connection, but there's also differences in the features. I mean, he's everything. He's the floor, he's the wall, he's the rug. Like, we like sitting on the rug, not the floor, because it's warmer, it's more comfortable. But let's say it's super hot, and then we want to be on the floor. But Krishna's the floor. He's the coolness of the floor. He's the warmness of the rug. But those are all coming within his opulences. And just the general opulence of warmness or coolness of these, this is all from the Brahmajyoti. Right? So the Brahmajyoti is spreading everywhere. His glories are everywhere. So we say his glories are everywhere. That's because the Brahmajyoti is spreading everywhere. But it's the person who is glorious that these glorious qualities are spread everywhere, and therefore even everything we work with mundane is still Krishna. Therefore the Paramahamsa can see Krishna in everything. It's just that from there they'll see it's warm, and then from that then it'll go into the personal. Because the point is, it's the person who's there. So if our realization is less, we see it's all Krishna, and it's, there's the person, and then there's how he's, you know, pervading everything, but we don't quite connect them. Then Paramatma, how he's controlling everything and all that. So then, that's there. We may connect that with the Brahman or not, or connect it with with Bhagavan or not. I mean, so you can do, but it's like dwait adwait. You can look at it this way, you can look at it that way. Does that make sense? But achinta beta beta tattva means you can look at it both simultaneously. It's all Krishna, Krishna, the person, but as Brahman. It's not a problem. So it's the person who's doing that. You know what I'm saying? Just like, let us say, let's say some work is going on, some special work, and the head of the company sends some people down to just see that everything goes smoothly. Right? And so the people who are doing the work, then these other people are there just in case. But they're just overseeing. So now, for the general person, they're going to see these people are there because it's just, it's effective, it gets the work done and this and that, and it relates to the Paramatma thing, or just their energies that you can get things done through. You don't even necessarily see them back to the control. So in other words, someone just sees the advantage of that. Someone else sees the qualities that they're there. They give protection, or they give, you know, that connections or networking aspect. It means you need something done, they know the people, and so they can put you in contact. So you just see the energies that they provide. The another person will see that these people are that the control of whoever's the control, you know, the head of the company, how he has that power to get all these things done. You understand? That's someone who knows more. That the third one knows the person, and they're thinking, oh, he's so kind, he sent these people to see that everything goes nice. So they think of the head of the company. Does that make sense? So that's what's happening here in these realizations, that they, from the material platform, we see everything as separate. We can't reconcile them. That's why everything is always trouble. Right? It's always going to be. It's the way it's made. It's like you can't put them together like that. So the only way you can is in connection with Krishna. Krishna is the one that holds them together. So to that degree that you understand and appreciate, then that degree you can understand. So, but what's being offered is that you can see all three of them together simultaneously, but focused on the person. Right? So that's going to be Braj. When it's all three simultaneously, but the focus is more on his control of it, it's going to have the Vaikuntha kind of aspect. And when you see all three of them together, but the focus is on the Brahman aspect, that's going to be the Shantaras. Does that make sense? So that's going to be the difference that's there. So in other words, the Shantaras is where the focus is on the Brahman. The Dasyaras is where it's on Paramatma. Right? And the upper three, then depending upon, that can be either sweetness with the majesty or just sweetness. Does that make sense? So in Vaikuntha you get the Shant, that's what you see in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Then when in the morning he saw everyone coming in through the gate, all the Shantabhaktas and all the Dasyabhaktas were all coming in. So there's lots of them. So both are there in Vaikuntha. And you'll see them throughout the whole realm, but in Vaikuntha they're the prominent. Like that. Now in Braj, then the friends, the parents, and the lovers, they're the prominent. Not the servants and the Shanta, even though there may be unlimited amounts of them. Like you take all the trees, all the cows, they're all Shanta. But the point is, as you're going out, it's Krishna and the cowherd boys, not the Shanta. The Shanta is appreciated, as we see, is that when Krishna and Balaram, there's that chapter in Krishna book where Krishna and Balaram are going for a walk, and Krishna's pointing out how the forest is worshipping Balaram, you know, because he's the Kriya Shakti, so he's expanded it, and in that way, then it's all worshipping him because it's following his order. But what's not, Krishna doesn't bring out that it's because of Krishna's desire Balaram's doing that. But, you know, for the etiquette, and then he's going to see it that way. You know what I'm saying? Because otherwise, then he's the Ishvara. So he's not. He's Sayyata. So, for the devotees, then it's just a matter of time by the association we see with the acharyas that we start to catch these things. So it's not a matter of just memorizing and knowing the technical and this and that. Because if this part's not caught, it won't make sense. Like you can see is any chart on the avatars, it never fully makes sense because this point is not understood. The simultaneous one and difference between these. It's got to be, no, this and this have to be exactly, no, they don't. This is taking a part of this, is taking a part of that. And this is just because these three different approaches makes everything work for us as devotees. More than that, there will be unlimited of that. You know? But it's not. I mean, it's just like you see it when you get down into it, just taking a feature of the Tathagatama Rupa, then Lord Chaitanya is explaining the 24 Vishnumurtis. And how from four, then you get 12, and then from those ones there, you get another two each, and then you get like the 24. So, like that, and so I'm sure that there's further of that, but this is far enough for us. You know, just like yesterday Prabhu was saying in the class, the devotees are asking about, no, but what if you're attached to Kurma as a turtle, and then when you go to Vaikuntha and he's not a turtle, and then you'll be completely disappointed and all that, because, you know. But it's beyond what we would use, what we would need. What does it matter? You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter. Because the point is if you love the person, what do you care what form he's taking? You know, that's like, I only love the person when they wear, you know, black with the, you know, Nike shoes. But if they put on, you know, Adidas shoes and wear, a brown sweater, it's like, I can't relate to him at all. It's kind of like, do you call that love? So that's the thing, is they're taking an external, that's material, view, and then projecting that by aropia onto the Lord in the process, and then trying to say, this is spiritual, and that if it's not working, but it has nothing to do with the person or people in the room asking the question. They will not have that problem. Yes?
This is the difficulty, because I was contemplating yesterday on this point. It's really difficult to discuss rasa.
Right.
Because relationship, you know, with a certain form means rasa.
Right.
It's really difficult without the basic knowledge of tattva.
Yes.
Because the emotion which should be sthayi isn't there.
Mm. Yes.
So there's no stability.
Yes.
So it constantly shifts.
Yes.
So just by shifting it, and the mind is really fast.
Yes.
So you need a basis of tattva, then you can discuss rasa.
Yes.
And then there's a valid discussion. Otherwise, yes, it's just like you mentioned, it's speculative, maybe this, maybe that, or what's gonna happen, and it's a pure projection. It has nothing to do with reality.
Yeah. But it's just eating, sleeping, mating, you're not gonna be doing in the class, but fearing you can do. So therefore you can project these, but then it won't be there, and then we won't be happy, and then and all that, and should we really be doing this, and should I just go back to where I'm from and just get into all the nonsense I used to do, and would that be better, or, you know, so, yeah. So that's, it's just a matter of yeah, like you said, it's just the taste of the speculation. You know, it has a flavor, but the point is because it's mathematically possible. It's just like, okay, let's say if I say Italian food, what do you think of?
Pasta.
Okay, but yeah. But yeah, but if you say, or if I say something, okay, pasta, something specific.
Pizza.
And let's say you're having a pasta, what kind of sauce?
White
sauce, okay. And you?
Green.
Red. Okay. He was going to say yellow. He was going to put the mustard on it.
It's orange.
Orange.
Red and mustard.
Oh yeah, you can combine them. Yeah. So, but the thing is like I have a book. It's 100 different kinds of sauces, and you know the tomato will be a few of them. The green will be a few of them. You know, because like pesto, you have a green one, but you also have a red one. You know the red pesto? Oh, okay. That's made with dried tomatoes and roasted red capsicum, like that. You know, same kind of concept, but you know, it has a few basil leaves in it for flavor, but it's not the main.
Is it?
Okay, we're getting close. Immediately going off, and it's also before breakfast. You know, all the planets are lining up, right? It's also how you say. Ram Vijay, you know, when you're victorious over your enemies, you know, how you say, known as hunger, and you know, yes. Like that. So there's so many, but you'll just think of that. You know, like this, we say Mexican, you'll think of one or two preparations. You know, we'll say French, you'll think of a few preparations, like that. But there's a whole wide range. So the thing is in every cuisine, you have unlimited mathematical combinations of what you can do, depending on the expertise. And there are ones that there's going to be ones that are outstanding, that of, let's say, 20 different ways to make this preparation, you know, two or three of them are really good, and one of them is, like, really special, right? But all of them are mathematically possible, you know? And so, in that, then, they're trying to take all the mathematical combinations that will be there. But the point is whether they give the taste that you're looking for or not. You know, that they can actually give that. So the acharyas show which ones to use. Even though, yes, there's unlimited things. But which ones to use, because we're a person. And as a person, we choose certain things. So even though there's all those, you're going to have what your favorite is. You know, so that's where the rati comes and the sta is, because you're fixed and what gives you that taste. So that's the thing, is that in here the sta is speculation. The sta is, it's about themselves, you know, them being happy. And so therefore they're speculating on how they'll be happy, because the point is if you say is, let's say, okay, I think you should do that. No, but I don't feel that, you know, it doesn't match. You know, okay, what service do you want to do? Why don't you do this? No, it doesn't match me. So if you do something that's you, you'll be happy. Yes, okay. So then on the spiritual platform, if you do what's you, you'll be happy. So therefore, when you remove the gross and subtle bodies and you function in your spiritual body, you'll be you, you'll be happy. No, but can we choose? Can we this and that? It's kind of like you have a nature. You just go back to that. But the point is the taste is in the speculation, is in the options, and can I get more? Can I get better? You know? Can I have what do you call it? The Rolls Royce with the Bugatti Chiron motor in it? You know? It's just all these different things. At the same time, as it's too long, if I drive into McDonald's, it won't fit into the line. You know, I can't get it around the corner. So
it should be electric.
Oh, it should be electric.
I'm not driving
anymore. You know, so that's the difficulty that comes up. Is we're always looking: is can I get a better material situation? Because when they make these things about the spiritual world, they're not actually real, because they're projecting again. The Europia. So that's the point, is at the Madhyama platform, the being steady means you don't need to project anymore. You just accept what it is, where you are, and I'm here, and that's there, and so I'm going to continue in this way and get to there. You know, but the other thing is, no, what is this and is that? And, you know, it's the whole, you know, it's like going to the store and there's like 152 different kinds of breakfast cereal and you spend an hour there. That's, yeah. You know. So what we do, we just take what the acharyas recommend. Like that.
I think this is the main difficulty, the main difference, between Laukika Shraddha and Shastriya Shraddha.
Mm-hmm.
At certain level, we just have to accept what's in the Shastra. We can Because this person, I was thinking, because I was really strong, we discussed Vishnu Tattva, Lagu Bhagavatamrita. So I was really strong. You can't imagine form of the Lord. It's not imaginary. It is what it is. And he got this point. So he wasn't speculating on the form, but he was speculating on the relationship with that particular. So speculated just...
He just moved
a few degrees. So it is speculative. And, you know, during the class, I couldn't figure it out because it was like really fast and I had to keep the audience in focus. But then, contemplating, I realized he just moved it, you know, a few degrees. And then I have fun, you know.
Yeah, then you can speculate again.
Okay, what about...
Yeah, no, that's what's so expert is. I remember once... that some gentleman had come to the temple in Calcutta and we were discussing something and he had gotten into a particular thing and he was trying to speculate in a particular way, but I had used that technique that Prabhupada, you know, about the Christians, thou shalt not kill, just keep it to one point and then move on from there. And after I did that for a few minutes, he got really flustered and said, why do you keep it to one point? Why can't we discuss whatever we like? You know? So that's the thing. It's as soon as something's there and you defeat that argument, they immediately come up with a new one just so they can continue speculating. So they're not looking for the absolute. That's the difference. And you see this so nicely done in with Prakashananda Saraswati and with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. On both of those, you're talking about someone who does not agree. Means with Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, and Ramananda Rai, you're talking about people who are completely in line. But with those two, you're talking about people who are not in line. They didn't have that faith. They didn't have that determination or that vision. But in that, they were both looking for the absolute truth. That's their qualification. Otherwise, why they should talk to the Lord? Right? And so, you know, so then he's showing the thing, and then they're asking questions, having understood that progression. And then you can see afterwards, then we can see later when it's discussing some pastime of Lord Chaitanya there, I think it's in Varanasi, then the followers of Prakashananda Saraswati, they're giving the Shastic reasons in that why it's Lord Chaitanya is doing it that way. So they've understood it and now they're thinking how Lord Chaitanya gave them. So it wasn't, they were looking for the absolute truth, it just they had only gotten that far, you know. But as soon as it was actually shown, so our tendency is karma and jnana, so we have that attachment. So then the tendency is we'll either, you know, it's either being practical or, you know, it has that other speculation, we're trying to, you know, get out of the material world or, you know, whatever we can do, you know, we can bargain for what we can get out of the spiritual world or, you know, like that.
Yeah, I was thinking also in those two conversations is that They were looking for the absolute truth, but they both took positions as teachers of Lord Chaitanya. But because in the beginning, but because they were sincere, then when the position reversed, they would listen what he has to say, and then they accepted the absolute truth because it descended. So it was Vada. In terms of Vada, Jalpa, and Vitanda, it was Vada right in the beginning, but in a wrong order. They thought, I'm the teacher, he's a student, so he has to listen to me. But then when the position reversed, then, but still it was Vada, but then the proper Vada, Mahaprabhu is a teacher, and then them as the students, so they received that knowledge.
Yeah, then there's Siddhanta.
Yeah, exactly.
Then there's Siddhanta. Yeah, otherwise if there's that argumentative, it means it's fine that there's a doubt and one's trying to understand, but if it's in that argumentative mood, you know, just to be right, like especially if it's your only purpose of the dialogue is to win, then that's considered, you know, one of the lowest elements of Nyaya. You're using all this wonderful technical points of logic simply to win, not to understand Siddhanta.
Yeah.
You know, so then that becomes basically useless.
Yeah, that's jalpa. And then vitanda means you just want to defeat opposition. It's not even about you winning. It's about opposition should be defeated.
Yeah, that's well. That's what I was meaning.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm meaning. It says say anything to stop the thing, and that it looks what do you call it?
Vitanda.
It looks like you won, but technically you haven't necessarily, because by logic you haven't won. You just gave an argument that he couldn't say anything more. So that generally is what is used.
Yeah, this is lowest. This is considered like lowest.
But that's considered to be someone who's, I would say it would be considered the highest in rhetoric.
Yeah.
You know? And so that becomes the main thing that people use nowadays. You can say something that shuts them up, you know. It's not about finding the truth. So that becomes the difficulty. So if it's about finding the truth, then the conversation can go on nicely. You know, you have one idea and you're not seeing it far enough or in the right perspective or in the right context, and then another person, you know, points it out, and then you can start having a serious conversation. Yeah? Okay. Okay, so that's those the incarnation. So in other words, you have the incarnations of the Lord, and then you have the Shaktis of the Lord and how they're working. All the expansions or categories of Lord possess only some percentages of these attributes. But Sri Krishna is the possessor of the attributes 10%. And his personal expansions, such as Swayam Prakash, Tare Katma, up to the categories of the avatars, who are all Vishnu Tattva, possess up to 93% of these transcendental attributes. So up to, meaning that there's the potential for that, but depending on the pastime and that's being happening, they may manifest up to 93 or not. So I think if it's 93, that would be the Paravasta. And then if it's not, it would be less. You know, so then you get the Vibhava or Swamsa or like this. So you start getting just less and less how much they're showing. Lord Shiva, who is neither avatar nor avesha nor in between them, possesses almost 84% of the attributes. He's just that unique in between. He's not the avatar nor avesha. So he's not the Vishnu, but he's not the Jiva, so he's something in between. So you see, his Krishna is there, and then his expansions, and then the Jivas are also part of that, but then in between here, then you have like that. You know, just like in between here, then you have like the Paravasta, the more serious ones, and then you have Lord Shiva on this side, then there's the Jivas.
Yeah. His abode also in between.
His abode's in between, yes.
So that's his tattva, that's his position.
Yeah. So it's like his abode is situated in Brahman.
Yeah.
You know, so then it means everything's in Brahman, but it has that feature that aspect is more prominent.
More
Brahman.
Inner Brahman. Inner Brahman.
Inner Brahman, yes. But the jivas, or the individual living entities in different statuses of life, possess up to the limit of 78% of the attributes. In the conditioned state of material existence, the living being possesses these attributes in very minute quantity, varying in terms of the pious life of the living being. So the more pious, the more attributes, or the more means the quality of it, but also then to some degree the quantity. But even you have the great quantity, it's still very minute compared to Krishna. So even Brahma, it's still very minute. The most perfect of living beings is Brahma, the supreme administrator of one universe. He possesses 78% of the attributes in full. All other demigods have the same attributes in less quantity, whereas human beings possess the attributes in a very minute quantity. The standard of perfection for a human being is to develop the attributes up to 78% in full. The living being can never possess attributes like Shiva, Vishnu, or Lord Krishna. A living being can become godly by developing 78% transcendental attributes in fullness, but he can never become a god like Shiva, Vishnu, or Krishna. He can become a Brahma in due course. The godly living beings who are all residents of the planets in the spiritual sky are eternal associates of God in different spiritual planets called Haridam and Maheshdam. The abode of Lord Krishna above all spiritual planets is called Krishnaloka or Goloka Vrindavan. And the perfected living being, by developing 78% of the above attributes in fullness, can enter the planet of Krishnaloka after leaving the present material body. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.28 purport. Yes?
So, actually, whenever they describe about Lord Krishna and then avatars are here, and the jivas, when they make comparison, it's only the attributes are...
What are being compared?
Compared. Because if you compare with the form, then form is always changing based on like the need of the situation of the pastime.
Mm-hmm.
But the attributes are the one by which you can actually weigh which is what.
Mm-hmm.
For example, like that question on Kurmadeva.
Mm-hmm.
When he's in the material world, he takes that form of Kurmadeva.
Mm-hmm.
But in spiritual world, it's not required.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he stays in his original...
No mandara mountains around.
So, but what makes that commonness is that particular form of Vishnu has that kind of qualities and mood.
But attributes, yes.
Attributes and mood. Mm-hmm. Because of which that, what we say that this is the Kurma deity in spiritual world, this is Vamana deity in spiritual world.
Mm-hmm.
Because he has that specific attribute.
So the attributes. So that's the thing is that we see as Rupa Goswami's talk, it's mentioned, I think Srila Prabhupada mentions it, that Rupa Goswami is attracted to Krishna because of his qualities. So that's the whole thing. Those attributes, those are going to be the common point. So however, whether he's with Mother Jashoda, whether he's with the coward boys, whether he's with the gopis, whether he's with all the Brajbasis, it's those attributes that are the attractive feature.
Attributes.
Like the 64 qualities? You have the 64 qualities that are there. And depending on Krishna's manifesting, that means all 64, then Vishnu 60, then Shiva 55, and then the Jivas 50. You know, so you get those percentages of 93%, 84% and 78%. You know, and then Krishna is 100%. So then, it's those qualities that people are attracted to Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? And so, and the form then matches those attributes for that situation. Like how Krishna looks when he's with the gopis, he won't look when he's with the cowherd boys. Like I think it was one of our artists, the ISKCON artist, then he had come up with this idea and he drew Krishna, you know, standing in threefold bending form, all decked out and everything. And in the picture, you know, he was standing there and there was a tree and there was a cowherd boy who was there, you know, with the little short dhotis and all that, and jumping up and down in ecstasy, and there was a cow, and they took it into Prabhupada. You know, and said, you know, Prabhupada, you know, what do you think of this painting? And Prabhupada, the first thing was, what's the pastime? He says, well, no, pastime. I just thought it would be nice. And says, don't speculate. You know, says, because the point is he dressed Krishna like he would be with the gopis, but he's out with the cowherd boys. And he's not interacting with the cowherd boys. He's just there in a threefold bending form. The cowherd boys are doing whatever they're doing in the ecstasy in the background. Is that so? The point is that you're going to have the different features for the different situations. Just like, let's say Krishna is doing the Dangati, right? So he's dressed up as a boatman, so he's going to be having his gumshas on and a gumsha around his head and stuff like that. So his attributes and the gopis aren't going to be attracted to because the form is slightly different. Does that make sense? You know, so that's then the point he's making is it would be one of the arguments, you know, for, means one of the presentations for if they say, oh, but you know, we're attached to the form of kurma, you know, as a turtle and not as a four-armed form of Vishnu, and that that means then you're not attracted by the attributes. You know, the how he's manifesting the particular form for that pastime, that form is what you're attracted to, not necessarily what the pastime is, the interaction with the devotees, the qualities he has, and everything like that. So it's not a very complete sthaibhav. Yes.
I mean, we have a term for it. It's called pritakbhav.
Pritak.
Pritak. Pritak means separated from the reality, from the absolute reality.
Okay.
It's your own. It's mundane, basically.
Okay. So then those approaches would then have the aspect, because then when Kapila Muni explains about devotional service in goodness, passion, and ignorance, then in ignorance means it's about yourself, you're proud, you think you're the best, and everything like that. In passion, you're seeing what benefits I'll get from this service. Like that. You may not be proud, but you're trying to get, and more of goodness you're doing because you have that gratefulness towards the Lord that you want to reciprocate properly with some service. And then pure goodness is based on affection. Like that. So then here it would have to have that element of passion to it because it's been separated. You know, it may not be the prominence, but it has a feature there. That's why it doesn't work. You know, and then that'll bring up for the, when we get back to it in the evening, what was the difficulty with the one person in Chaitanya Charitamrita?
With the bata.
Yes, because the pride. Yes.
I'm just trying to summarize a little bit the three main category, whatever I called so far, is the because of the overlap, as you mentioned, that makes it really difficult, and that overlap always happens.
Mm-hmm.
So we have three main categories in Vishnu Tattva. One is by position.
Mm-hmm.
One is by attributes, means qualities.
Mm-hmm.
And one is by opulences, means the six opulences of the Absolute. Is mm-hmm. that right? I mean, you mentioned four, but I already forgot what's the fourth one.
Is that right? Because even if I...
The one which we say the expansion chart.
Are we talking about those three different charts?
No. You said three different categories.
Yeah, in the beginning of the class.
How much potency they, how much energy they have.
Oh, okay, yeah. I mean, so it's still talking about those three means. It means the Swayam Rupa, Tadikatma Rupa, because we have so many.
Which ones are we talking about?
Yeah. So. Yes, it means by the expansions and all that, so therefore, like here, then what qualities are being manifested and everything.
Yeah.
Then but there's also going to be the within that, the moods that are there, because that'll make a difference, like between Krishna and Balaram, they're both Swayam Rupa, but one, the mood is different, so one will be, I think he's Prakash or something, Swayam Prakash or something, like there's some differences there. Yeah. But like Swayam Vilas means Krishna's expanded, but he's 16,000, you know, with the queens or with the gopis or like that. Yes. So that's going to be that aspect. The other is in the power that they're manifesting. How great it is, the power. It's just like it says, it's all electricity, but is it you know, as it, is it 1.5 you know volts? Is it 3 volts? Is it 9 volts? 12 volts? You know, 100, 220, 100, like this, or like you have it there, 11,000 volts, or that's going to be. So Paravasta means it's the highest amount. Mm-hmm. Then you're going to have the Vaibhava means it's very great. Prabhava is going to be it's enough, it's sufficient. And then the avesha, that's going to be how much is necessary for that jiva to perform that pastime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's greater than other jivas are doing. But it's, you know, it's just like Indra's managing the universe. You know, we have trouble managing, you know, our own lives, and he's managing the whole universe. But so that means he's empowered to do that, like that. So Yeah. Then the other was categorizing simply what kind of the of avatar they are. Means what's the what is the action? What is the pastime? Mm-hmm. Right. So in other words, it's about the pastime and attracting the living entities to the Lord. That's going to be a lila avatar.
Right.
Then a guna avatar means that they're the avatar to take care of that particular mode and see that it's going well in the material world. Because the material world's made of these modes, so they have to be run nicely and be consistent in how they interact. So then you're going to have Manvantara avatar. That's going to be the avatar that sees that Indra is protected so he can do his job and the universe is managed nicely. Like that. Then you're going to have the Yuga avatar. They're seeing that the Yuga is going according to what's supposed to happen in that Yuga. Right? How much qualities are there, how much it is, how it degrades. You know, all those different things like that. That the Yuga Dharma is being performed. You know, these kind of things like that. Then you're going to have the Purusha avatars. Then they're seeing to the creation and all that, you know, in the Shankar, Shankaratum, Adi Ruta. So the overall Mahatattva, the Mahatattva in the universe, and then each living entity, how they're interacting with that Mahatattva in the universe. Then you're going to have the Shaktivesh, means that they're how they're empowered. So that Shaktivesh there is the same as the Shaktivesh over on this side and the Avesha here, so they stay the same.
Yeah.
So there's no confusion there. It's only when you're dealing with the Vishnu Tattva, then there can be so many combinations of how they're, what they're manifesting and stuff.
Yeah.
Yes.
The first one, Swayam Rupa Tadekatma and Avesha Rupa, it's defined as Bhagavan exists in these three principal forms.
Mm-hmm.
So that is how the eternality is. That is the forms. But the rest were avatars. When they come into the material world, then we make this segregation of how much power they are manifesting or what function they are doing.
Okay.
Otherwise, in originality, it's this Swayam Tadekatma and Aveshrupa, they are defined and categorized based on just the qualities that are present, in the sense of, like, you know, basic definition is the Swayam Rupa is not dependent on any other, and Tadekatma is dependent on the Swayam and manifests slightly less qualities. And Avesha is clear. It's Avesha. It's Lord's, like, you know, Jiva manifesting potency. Basically,
okay.
The devotees of the Lord.
Yeah. Well, Avesha is actually more clear.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's Jivas, it's us.
Yeah, it's
us.
Yeah,
you know,
we can identify with that.
They're from the hood, you know. we can relate, you know. Then Vishnu, he's in another category. That becomes
the first.
This is the first, and then the second one is the Prabhava. The second one is by the influence of power.
Mm-hmm.
How much power they manifest, it's Paravasta, Vaibhava, Prabhav, and Avesha. Now these are mentioned just so that when a particular avatar comes, how much power is manifesting, like where accordingly, like whether the devotional mood and all also varies from person to person. If they are like for longer time, then the whole definition is given there, that the six categories of avatars, those are come.
Mm-hmm.
And then because they manifest less power, more power, then there is difference in their, like how we relate to them, like Mohini Murthy.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not eternally present, you cannot make him as the main deity and then worship in the, like for
mm-hmm.
mostly helps in our worship for Pancharatra and all, because who is more, we can identify who manifests from whom.
Mm-hmm.
Accordingly, we'll go back to worshipping the one who is the Adi.
Mm-hmm.
So, because the Paravasta form, even the Mahanarayana is the Paravasta form, that's why the Shris worship, our worship everywhere, then we can consider they're technically right up till that level.
Yeah, Paravasta, they just don't know Swayam.
Swayam, yeah. So, the purpose of it It's not defined like, no, why is it like that?
Mm-hmm.
But this is what we can relate to. And then the six categories, that nobody has any doubt because they are straightforward. Purusha, Atta, Guna, Atta.
Yes, yes. This yes. is...
Because it's just categorizing.
Yeah.
Based on their function. Within.
Function. So one is the function, one is the power, and then the third one would be?
The how the Bhagavan exists in these three principles.
Yeah, forms. Just a, yeah. Does that make any more sense?
Yes.
Yeah?
Because we have the whole chart, but now in order to explain it,
mm-hmm.
we're trying to break it into big categories. Because, like, say, for example, I was thinking when Prabhu was explaining, you know, departure vahita shantarma vibhiti, it means it's one candle and then all others
yes, yes.
with the same potency. But apparently from this explanation, the first is supreme, that's mm-hmm. Svayam Rupa.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also sequence of how although the light is the same, but then we should see up to certain, and then all this category, because they look all the same, but actually how they develop, one is closer to the Svayam Rupa,
mm-hmm.
or one is further down, and it's relative explanation, but still,
yeah.
that explanation is very general, but here we're dealing with more details.
More detail. Because this means in your Svayam Rupa and Tadekatma Rupa, it's all Krishna.
Yes.
But the point is how much of those qualities and to what degree he's manifesting. But it's otherwise, it's him. You know, it's just like you're out, let's say, you're walking, you know, down the road, you know, out for an evening walk and all that. And you're you know, with somebody, you're talking very nicely, let's say, you know, you're with a family, you're talking very relaxed, being very much yourself, and as you go along, then some devotee comes along, and so then everything becomes very formal, they just interact very nicely, like this and that. It's not that you're a different person. Mm-hmm. To that other person, you're like a different person.
Yeah.
They only know that aspect of you. They don't know how you deal with a family. So that's why is that, let's say the residents of Vaikuntha, they only know him as Vaikunthapati. They don't know him as Braja Krishna. But it's still Krishna. That's why we see is that Vaikunthapati can get out his flute and play it and do all that stuff because he is Krishna. But it's because Krishna is just taking this. So that mood difference, that's why in that it's showing the Tadekatma, and that it's showing power, a little bit of the aspect of power, but also the mood. So it's kind of like these three categories are the basis for looking at it more from power or more from function or more. So you can get, these are like specialized charts. So the three of the Svayam Rupa, Tadekatma, and Advaita is actually the main chart.
Yeah.
So that, then you show the power, that you show the other, then that works very nicely. Your difficulty comes up as showing the six categories, six functions with the four kinds of levels of power. That's generally where, because any one of those could be showing more or less.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That also explains why the Svayam group is considered independent, because having those 64 qualities of Krishna as Krishna and then that form which is goes along with it. Like this verse in Brihad Bhagavatam, chapter 6, where the situation where Rukmini Devi is explaining that when everybody points out that whether Krishna should go to Vrindavan or not, then she says, actually, Krishna, though he's with us, he's actually not with us. And then exactly the point she mentions is, and sometimes while asleep, he acts as if he were placing his flute to his mouth and assumes the threefold bending form. And then the Parpatits explain that this threefold bending form is not manifest at all in Dwaraka. Means that Svayam Rupa is never manifest at all.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how the relationship is through the qualities and then
mm-hmm.
the powers manifest. Now when we are reading that, then mm-hmm. at that time it doesn't, if we don't relate to the Svayam Rupa,
it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make much difference. It's just like, it's just like when I feel like I think like this.
Yeah, it's just a feature. But this is always brought out. It's brought out of that aspect. It's brought out of Navavrindavan.
Yeah, this leads to the Navavrindavan.
Yeah, but it's also brought out, that's Sanatana Goswami, you see Rupa Goswami then, and what is it?
The
I get all the B's and all the M's, and I get
Lalita
Madhava. Yeah, and so, and there, then that's also, that point's brought out. So that's the thing, is that whatever the situation, then one will just see Swayam Krishna. But depending on what it is, you may deal with him accordingly. You know, he'll be, you know, dressed accordingly or interacting accordingly, but you still know who it is. Just like the kid, you know, if they're trained nicely and all that, then in a formal situation and all that, everybody's dressed very nicely and very formally, and you stand very nicely, and they deal very nicely with their father. But it's not that they at any point think he's not my father anymore.
Also, yes. The point in all these charts, most important is that the five primary rasas, one explanation is mentioned that Lord Chaitanya came to give Vatsalya and Madhurya Bhava, which was not given by any other.
Mm-hmm.
So the Swayam Rupa is where that mood can be dull, and one can serve the Lord in that mood.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's what, these are the things that are manifest more, the qualities, the ability to serve Lord in a more complete way. Mm-hmm. That's why it's considered the complete manifestation and others are not.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than we think in different format, okay, they may have something less, or he's different in terms of the form he shows, or some other, whatever.
Hmm. Yeah. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah. So these, they all are connected, but at the same time as they have their own, how they flow. But there's connection between them all. Like we saw, I don't remember if you remember when we were some of the earlier days of the Bhagavatam, when we were using the material that Sahotra Maharaj himself had put together, the first material for what was worked on by Pandava.
Yes.
So we had a section, after you finished the chapter, then there was a section just on all the places where Jiva Goswami in the Sandarbhas anywhere quoted that Bhagavatam verse, and then what he's had to say about that. So then in there, I remember that there were, I specifically remember one where in the same sentence, the first half of the sentence was talking the tattva, and the second half was talking the rasa, about the same principle, like that. So the two can be seen, that connection, but at the same time, as unless one can, if by showing the rasa you don't understand the tattva, by showing the tattva, then the rasa is, one has to have that proper balance. So one has to know what goes where. You know, because it's flavor. You know, it's just like you're preparing something to eat. It's the balance of the things. It's not just the ingredients. We generally talk about it as if it's the ingredients.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just like if you can say, well, out of the salt, there'll be no taste, but how much salt do you put?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the whole thing, is that when that's there, it's like, or let's say, there's a group of girls, and, you know, somehow or another onto the scene comes by a, you know, very, let's say, qualified boy. You know, extremely attractive, extremely qualified, good character. I mean, you know, whatever it is, you know. Now, in that, that attractiveness and all that that he has and all that, that's going to be your main point. But at the same time, how much will that group of girls show that they have an attraction to that boy? Basically, nothing.
Zero.
Yeah. But you can tell by the symptoms of how they're showing zero that they're attracted. Does that sound like something?
Yeah.
So that's the whole thing, is that sometimes we overemphasize things that don't need to be overemphasized, or someone, you know, like we'll talk about these more advanced levels and we'll overemphasize something that someone who was on that level would not overemphasize. Like we see the Goswamis, when they're talking about the rasa, the tattva, they'll go into so much detail to talk about the rasas, as long as it's the first two categories, and they'll do. But when they get to the third, the conjugal, they restrict it very much.
Yeah.
But if they want to explain it, then you have a book that's bigger. You know, that I understand the Ujjwala Nilamani as a book is bigger in size than the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. But that could also be that that's maybe with commentaries.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, but I'm just saying it's that fat. Well, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, I think, is only like that, unless it's two volumes. But in any case, it's huge, just taking the one rasa. So it's not that they can't, but when they discuss it in general, they restrict it down to just the essential points. So that's the things we tend to, you know, overbalance. You know, it's just like I was mentioning that one time, one of the kids, we cooked dal and that, and the kid thought, you know, hey, can we make Russian dal? I said, okay, what's Russian dal? What do you need? We're cooking for 25 people. He wanted 2 liters of yogurt. No, he put that in the dal. And he said, this is Russian dal. And then I think I asked some Russians to give the sour. Yeah, you put just that much, because if you put tomatoes for a little sour, you put a little lemon, or you put some yogurt, or like that, you put. But it's just to give that little bit of sour, you know, like you do with the sabjis. But because he saw them put it, in his mind, it grew to this big, you know. And so then, you know, because he was in that old, I think he was like 10, 12 or something. And so then, you know, the proportion gets off by his, and for him it was great. Everyone else is kind of like, you know, this is more like cutty, you know, like cutty with dal in it. You know, it's kind of like, okay.
So you make a South Indian one more, is that just the yogurt and churn, make like a buttermilk and add some spices? It's a kind of a dal that you eat.
You use it in place of, but yeah. Yeah.
Just you. Yogurt in every dish, South Indian.
Well, you have to have yogurt.
No, we don't put in every dish, because otherwise you cannot appreciate yogurt. Unless you eat something very spicy, there should be a sabji which is completely spicy. Then you eat yogurt, then you get the feel of yogurt.
Yeah, because then it cools. Your stomach is on fire, so they eat the yogurt and it cools it down. You know, so that's it.
Adding yogurt in everything is some of the stress.
Some other states like that. It doesn't mean that it's not other South Indian states. It's just, you know, not our states. Yeah, we do the Sambar then the Rasam, not like some other states, you know, where they switch it. Or yeah, we cook with sesame oil, not like other states.
Some other places, they don't even use yogurt, just use sour cream.
Yeah.
Lots of fat.
Yes.
I mean, honestly, when we were studying Srimad Bhagavatam, and then at the end, certain verses, Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in the Bhagavatam, Atamrichimala, to you know, Sambandha Videya and Prayojana, like zero sense to me. I didn't see the logic. Why? Some which are very obvious.
Means before we studied it together?
No. When we studied it together.
Oh, okay.
When there was a reference at the end, and then you were reading, and then I was thinking, why Bhaktivinoda Thakur puts what's obviously in Abhideya Tattva, why is he putting this in Prayojana Tattva? Why is and this, but then slowly, by studying his books And then by studying Bhagavatam also, now it makes a little more sense. It's not perfect. I can't see the logic yet.
Mm.
But this is really subtle, like you explained. What's obvious and what's the intent. It's not necessarily one thing. So if they follow this, then it goes into this category, and if they follow that, then it goes in a different category. Mm-hmm. Or some verses I remember were in all three categories.
Mm-hmm.
Some Bhagavad Gita
and
Prayojana.
Yeah, well, it can be called like that.
And it doesn't follow the mundane law of logic.
No, not at all. That's why we have to follow the Acharyas. We can't make it up. Because otherwise, then this categorization, just like if we take, let's say, okay, Indian food uses cumin, right?
Yogurt.
So, huh?
Yogurt.
Okay, we want to use that, uses yogurt. That means any cuisine that uses yogurt is Indian.
Wow.
You know, and sour cream is actually, you take yogurt and strain it, you make shrikant, labne?
Yeah.
And then you press it. So that means all those American things, that's Indian. The Middle Eastern is Indian. Anywhere else where they use the yogurt is Indian. So that comes down. So only the Chinese are not Indian.
Not Indian.
Yeah, they're the only ones.
They're
the
conversion.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, we tend to do like that. Just what's easy, we like to put it together like that. So that's why it becomes difficult, because we want it to be, no, it's here, it's nowhere else. Or anything that's coming just goes here. But no, there's other aspects that deal with it. And so that subtlety is someone's outside.
I don't know.
Well, someone came up to here and went back. So.
Oh, okay. Maybe.
Okay. Continue?
Sure.
Yeah. Ate refers to those previous mentioned. The word cha indicates those not specifically mentioned. So that's why it says those mentioned and those not. What was that? All avatars mentioned and not mentioned here. So mentioned is ate, and cha means or not mentioned, because it means it's unlimited. These forms mentioned are amsas of the Purusha, Pumsaha, first described. Some of the amsas are actual amsas of two types, direct amsa forms of the Lord or portions of the amsas. Others are called amsas because of being endowed with a portion of the Lord Shakti, Shakti of Esh. Others are the vibhutis, kala, because kala means like a part of a part, something like that. You know. But he who has listed as the 20th avatar, Krishna, is Bhagavan. This means the form of Bhagavan, who is the source of even the Purusha, is Krishna alone. It is said, Anu vadam anuk tvaiva na vidheyam udhiraye. Without stating the subject, the predicate should not be supplied. What's the predicate?
I don't know, this is when it goes into grammar and laws.
Yeah, and probably if you know what it is in
Russian.
Yeah, because it actually has grammar. The problem is because English, they apply grammar to it. It doesn't inherently have grammar.
I think Russian is halfway through between English and Sanskrit.
Mm.
It has grammar.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, in the beginning, it was a spoken language.
Oh, okay. So like something like Latin, Greek, they have grammar.
It came from that side.
Yeah.
The verb.
Predicate is the verb.
It's a part of the sentence containing a verb and stating something about the subject. As the.
Okay, so it's the connection of how the verb connects to the subject.
There should be the two main things.
The verb.
Okay, but
yeah,
how the verb connects to the noun. Okay, without stating the subject, the noun, the predicate should not, because if you say going, and I don't say he, if I say he, so he what? He's going. But if I say going, it's kind of like it doesn't have any context at all.
Vishya and Ashraya. Subject will be the Vishya and predicate will be the Ashraya.
in relation.
Yeah.
Okay, meaning that the other, means the dependent and the independent.
Yes.
Okay. Thus the meaning of Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam is that Krishna alone has the quality of being Bhagavan. He is the source of all avatars. It does not mean that Bhagavan manifests Krishna. This is further explained by the word Swayam. Krishna is Bhagavan himself, Swayam, not manifested from Bhagavan and not superimposed upon Bhagavan. Right, because that if you say he's manifest from Bhagavan, that means you're taking Mahanarayan as Bhagavan, and then he's manifest from there. Or superimposed on Bhagavan means that then Brahman is supreme, and then you're taking the form of the Lord then is. Yeah. The doubt may arise, quote, is he not included in the list of avatars? Unquote. Parva, Parye, Purva, Dorlabhyam, Prakritivad. In a list of items, the previous ones are weaker than the latter ones, as in the case of Prakriti sacrifices. Chaimini Mimamsa Sutra 6554. Ooh. That explains. Because you see is that in places you're giving the list and that, and so then so many times when the acharyas are explaining something and they're saying that there's a variety of opinions, then they're going along, and then generally you see the last one they give. They give more explanation of the front ones, but then the last one they give, that's actually the important one. You know, like we were discussing before about the position of Sudhamada. So you'd always notice the last one they would say their one. But they would, because others have mentioned, they would explain why they're looking at it that way, and this is looking at it this way. And then they'll mention that, then they go down again, and then it kind of shows the two, and then the third time it's mentioned, it's just mentioned as what they said themselves. Does that make like that? So we saw.
Also, in the Nyaya, also, the Siddhanta comes towards the end.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
The question is, how do we know that's the end? Or it's like chapter or...
No, it just means that in a statement, then you know the last part of the statement is more important than the first. You know, it's also a thing of... Jiva Goswami mentions it in the grammatical aspect that if I say, you know, can you bring me some water? And then I say, no, make it milk. So I can't go and bring you water. And he said, you asked for water, you know. You know, he said, well, he asked for milk, he asked for water, I just chose one of them. No, because he said the milk after. It's...
So it's like bat. You know, in the sentence, you do this bat.
That could be, it's just what's mentioned later. Like you say, you know, clean the room and all that, and we'll have that. And then you come back later and says, well, actually, it's late now, leave this room, do the veranda. So that means that instruction is more important than the previous one. So he gives four reasons, but it's been so long, I don't remember. But I just remember that the latter, as opposed to the former, is more important. So that's what he's quoting here, like that. Yeah. Yad yugata vichidyad adakshinena yajeta yadi pratiharata sarvasva dakshinena. If the Udgata priest, chanter of Samaveda, drops with waistcloth of the priest in front while circumambulating the fire after the sacrifice should be repeated and no donation should be given. If the Pratiharta, chanter of Rigveda, drops the waistcloth of the priest in front of him while circumambulating the fire, the sacrifice should be repeated with full donation given to the priest. If the two priests, one after the other, drop the waistcloth, the sacrifice must be repeated with full donation according to the latter rule. Right? And devotees are saying what Prabhupada gave us is ritualistic. It's like... Yeah, they don't understand what's going on. So This is so when you're dealing in the karma mimamsa, it's down to this point. You know, you put on your cloth, and as you're going around the fire, if it comes loose and falls off, you have to redo the sacrifice. And if it's the utgata, he gets no, you know, the priests don't get any donations. They have to redo it again, and only after the second one, then they'll get their donation. But if the Rig Veda priest, he drops, or drops them in front of him like that, then they get the donation, and they repeat it, and they'll get the donation for the second time. So that's how karma kanda works. You know, he's just giving a, you know, common example. We're not getting into too much. We're not getting into detail of which spoon is used on which for like this and like that kind of thing.
So it depends on the mood, the situation. Everything affects when you are performing these kind of rituals. It's his fault or it's the sacrifice, the person, Yajaman's fault, is that?
Yeah, all, no, there's all these things. Because, and in these big, big sacrifices, you can have, you know, like Soma that has 90 priests of four different Vedas. Means total is 90, but they're from four different Vedas. So 30 from this, 10 from this, 20 like this. And so if one syllable is wrong, the whole thing's useless. You can see it's here, just the cloth thing that's a whole thing. So that's why there's so much concern and everything. So they're focused on the rules like anything, but then what's the purpose? So that's why it's just so much easier to chant. I mean, what we've been given, what we do in deity worship, what we do in the yajnas, what we do in the, you know, the cooking and all these things, is so simple compared to that. So it's already been, the essence has already been taken out and given to us. But because that essence is like overwhelming to us who have no regulation, no standards, no nothing, then therefore then it seems like so overwhelming and all this is. No?
Yeah, I was, before COVID, you know, that the standard Bhakti Shastri course was taking like 3 months. Mm. And then I saw an advertisement in a temple, you know, on the board, and there was a note, Bhakti Shastri for busy devotees. So I was thinking, you know, 3 months it's like, you know, it's minimum amount of time just to get familiar with the material. But what does it mean for busy? What is it, 2 weeks or what is it? like 3 months, it's you can make it less than that.
Yeah, yeah.
But then for busy devotees, what is it?
I mean, yeah, you're teaching for 3 months, but that means they have to be studying so much during that 3 months.
Yeah.
I heard only 50% of the devotees make it through because of the intensity of them.
So yeah, then, it's very intense.
So then for busy, yeah, for busy, then that must mean you drop off all that self-study.
Yeah. No. Or you got to be a genius or something.
They just do it twice a week,
one for a year.
It just means you just spread it out over a year.
They're busy, so it's kind of...
No, at that time, it wasn't that. It was shorter course.
A shorter course. And then once you get it short, then now you can spread it out.
Oh, they do just according to the modules. So you do just about the detail.
Yeah, yeah. They break it into
and
parts.
And
then next
year, you do something.
But I was like wondering, what does that mean? You know, it's just advertisement, obviously.
Yeah.
If you're a devotee, if you consider yourself busy, that's for you.
That's for you. Yeah. So yeah. Okay. So that means then, if you don't, it means if all you have is time in your rush to drop in at the Mahaprasad place, get something really quick and that you can eat while you're walking, then that course is for you.
Yeah.
But if you're sitting, you know, in the restaurant with your friends talking and eating pizza, however much you want, then you should come to this course.
Yeah.
Okay. 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 When two contradictory methods of atonement are described without any way of combining them, e.g. both Udgata and Pratihartha fail to perform circumambulation properly, then the one mentioned later in the same scripture is to be taken as the method. Right? So if the one happens, that is there, but otherwise the other one, the later one, that's more important. You know, if both things happen, then you take the latter one as more important. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or the phrase Krishna's two invalidates the previous section. The same logic is used in explaining the Upanishads according to Shankara's commentary on Shrutyadi Bali Yashtvachcha Na Badha, Brahma Sutra 3350. Even though the words occur in another section on action, the words Te Ahite Vidya Chita are understood in the section on the fire called Manachit. Also, not using the word Bhagavan elsewhere at all, it is used in relation to Krishna in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.23. Yeah, because they generally don't use it in any other place. And so then, when it's used in connection with him, then you know it is meaning him. So it can also be in that same scripture, then something mentioned later is more important. Just like you start off, you're giving basic things, and as you give more and more detail, then the latter ones are more important than the beginning ones, as far as the decision goes. Does that make sense? When you're talking the details. Principle, then the principle is given in the beginning, and then as it goes, then all those are to be seen in the context. So that makes sense. So that's why it means the Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam is given right in the first canto. But that means all the rest of the book is seen in that context.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.